I'm going to be building a large media site in the brain machine interface and virtual reality space. I'm not really an information marketer, interestingly enough. I'm going to be leaving this world soon and nobody will really hear of me in this space anymore.
Probably answers the question why you would share these secrets.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess partially, right?
This is Superfast Business with James Schranko. James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome to superfastbusiness.com. Today, we're continuing on our quest to find out more about the subscription business model because I'm so passionate about it. You've heard me talk to people with email subscriptions. You've heard me talk to authors of popular books like John Warillo, whose fantastic book, The Automatic Customer, is a bestseller. We've heard from Robbie Baxter and her book, The Membership Economy. Today, we're digging deeper. We're going to speak with Daniel Fajella. Welcome to the call.
James, glad to be here.
Daniel, you've been going really well with the subscription model. Why don't you give us a little overview of what you've got cooking?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I'm actually doing this in a couple niches here, James. So I started off in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu niche, which is kind of a sub-niche of martial arts. And basically, instead of, speaking of kind of membership economy, I actually wrote that down because I haven't read that, but instead of selling just individual martial arts programs such as, hey, you know, here's how to choke somebody or here's how to, you know, escape from a bad position, we put together entire kind of skill development oriented curricula, technique over technique and month over month for martial arts folks. So we started doing that quite a while ago and started realizing that, man, you know, more than half of our revenue and now up to 85% of our revenue is from these recurring programs. And we expanded that into self-defense, built curriculums there, expanded that into fitness, started doing that there. And the last month, unfortunately, I wish May's books were done, but April's books, we were pretty close to 74 G's, basically with 85% of that being recurring, essentially teaching curricula in a rolled out program.
How long have you been doing this, Dan?
It's been a little bit over 2 years. Although, to be honest, I'm always juggling three businesses at a time. I wish I could tell you I was focusing on this one all the time. I used to run a physical martial arts gym that I sold about a year ago. So I was also, you know, buying square footage and putting up drywall and hiring instructors. And so, I mean, full time in this business, you know, a year, year and a half.
Great. Okay. So why did you pursue this recurring subscription model?
Yeah. You know, I mean, James, I've listened to your show, but then there's a lot of other kind of business folks. And there were smart people early in my career. One of my first business coaches early on was a guy that actually had a membership site in the model train business.
Wow, what a niche.
Yeah, tell me about it, right? Unfortunately, the niche is dying and he actually sold the site because he knew that, but he got a fair price for it. So on my own end, you know, I'd had some business coaches early on that were like, man, if you can find something that's recurring, do it. And not to mention, James, you know, I don't model Kennedy for everything, right? Like some people kind of idolize Dan Kennedy like he is the be all end all. I'm not taking anything away from Kennedy. I'm just saying, you know, I read like Vanderbilt biographies and like I think that there's actually significantly more grand businessmen than Dan Kennedy. However, in the direct response world, I listen to what the heck he says. And, you know, I mean, geez, since I was 21 years old, listen to his tapes, find something that recurs, you know, and I was signed up on his gold program, getting his DVDs every month. And I was like, man, you know, that's a pretty sweet deal for him. I should do that for me. So for me, James, I started off in the martial arts physical brick and mortar business. I started that business as an undergrad because I don't like working for nobody. I like doing my own thing. And that business doesn't work unless you get people on subscription programs. So when I went online between Kennedy and between my existing business experience, I said, it's going to be a curriculum. It's going to be recurring.
Right. And you said you'd actually heard some of my stuff from years back, way back when I had bad audio quality. And I was talking about subscription for quite some time now.
Yes, indeed.
Do you think that it's a fad or do you think that it's just like the next thing that people really should be focused on and it'll be around for a long time?
Youch. Well, I mean, it's interesting, right? Grand picture internet marketing perspective for you here. Well, one thing I'll just make note on is I think that, you know, this whole, I haven't read Membership Economy and I also haven't read Automatic Customer or whatever. So it looks like I have some catching up to do here. I frankly don't see it as a fad. And I think that there's the whole recurring thing is sort of a big deal, right? I mean, I guess back in the day, James, you know, if you got enough people to, you know, jump on your ferry line
or to buy your bars of soap, you had a business. You know, these days, you know, the Netflixes and the Vimeos and the, you know, the whole SaaS thing is a pretty big deal. You know, I mean, I think that the reason that these SaaS companies grow, despite, you know, in addition to the fact that software sort of expands really quickly, you don't need to go manufacture more bars of soap, is the fact that it builds people every damn month. So the predictability of revenue and kind of scalability of revenue, man, I don't think we ever would have broken 40 grand, never mind 70 grand consistent, if we didn't have recurring. And I do not see it as a, this is sweet for 2015. I sort of see it as like, man, these SaaS guys got the freaking right deal. You know, looking at churn rate, James, right? Looking at monthly actives. Like, they're looking at metrics that are just higher level than a lot of these stupid EPC things that a lot of internet marketers tend to focus on. So I look up to the guys selling software doing tens of millions or hundreds of millions and try to kind of model those kind of metrics. And I don't see any of that stuff as a fad at all.
Yeah, well, I think some of the key points are that, as Robbie Coleman Baxter points out in her book, it's really good for the customer to have recurring subscription. I've just emptied a few skip bins full of info products, a lot of them in their shrink wrap still, because I preferred to go through the transcriptions rather than the DVDs.
Yes.
But it really occurred to me how one-time products are not really great for consumption compared to things where customers can get ongoing solutions.
That's true too. I think you can find a way. What you're saying is you can provide more value with subscription if you do it right.
Well, I think software is a good example. If you stop paying us the software, business isn't as good.
Yeah. I can't stop paying for Infusionsoft. I go broke.
Right. So I want to dig into what have you actually got there
sure.
to generate this 70-something thousand a month? Like, what does it actually look like?
Sure, James. So my whole shtick, I came from a really small town where we did not have many human beings. So I started a martial arts gym in a small town. That's kind of a stupid thing to do, James. Don't ever do that. Not that you ever would. I'm just saying it's just, you know, it's a really bad business decision.
It's not such a bad decision. If you read Zero to One, Peter Thiel talks about starting in a market that you can dominate, but then scales massively. And it sounds like you've got that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, but I started in a business that doesn't scale, which is physical martial arts facilities, which was the non-scalable thing. This whole online thing is scaled up.
Well, I think you're talking about channels, not businesses. You're still in the same business, but you're using a different channel.
Curious. Yes, martial arts instruction. I suppose in some respect, you're right, James. Point noted, sir. Point noted. Anyway, so we started, in order to sell people on physical martial arts stuff, they have to be within a 8-mile radius or so. You get people from 12 miles. Going to show up for three classes and then cancel. So, you know, we got 8,000 people in my small town. So I had to focus really neurotically, James, on segmenting different types of leads, providing different types of follow-up and driving those folks to the gym and to the phone to get them an appointment to get into the gym. And then there were appointment sequences. So it was a lot of very neurotic follow-up per lead type, per lead source, per their goal, per their gender. And that's how I automated and sold my first business, which was a martial arts gym, which luckily I got rid of a while ago when I moved up to MIT to work on emerging technology and do more exciting things. Now, so for the business that we sell online now, James, and subscription, it's the same deal. So we have YouTube videos that have to do with all sorts of different topics. Some of them, James, are submission holds. Some of them are escape techniques. Some of them might be about beating bigger opponents. These folks that might watch that YouTube video will have a particular call to action related to kind of a content upgrade for that particular topic. They're watching an escape video, and all of a sudden, that we've got an ebook that goes step by step through 7 escapes that any grappler should learn, any white or blue belt grappler should learn, or something like that, right? Or they're watching a video about beating bigger guys, and they can download my 3 best submissions for tapping out, you know, bigger, stronger opponents or something along those lines. So we take folks by lead source and or by interest, and we'll take them down kind of tailored initial funnels, all driving towards continuity. So what we're really good at, I consider as a business altogether, is funnels that are varied on the front end based on lead source, but then also varied on the back end based on behavior that'll last for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks straight, offering a whole bunch of different various offers, really all driving towards continuity with, you know, different bonuses and different benefits and different variations of the continuity offer, but really seeing what's going to bite and what's going to get them to give continuity a shot. And we do that with tailored front-end sequences from a whole bunch of different lead sources, and now it's a bit of a machine.
Right. So I've heard of this before. I think Frank Kern called it the serializer method. and I use segmenting, of course. I look at it more as an octopus, where the membership is the head of the octopus, and you have different tentacles going out into different categories and different marketing channels, pulling people back to the head. What does the head of the octopus look like in your business? What are you actually selling? How much do people pay? What do they get? I'm sure our listener would want to know this.
Sure, sure. Yes, yes. So I started off in a really, really niche martial art. So I use that as a justification to charge higher prices than other membership sites in the martial arts space. So I started off in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and my specialty, James, is kind of twofold. Number one, and I didn't really need this to start a membership site, but it was fortunate, right? I could use it. You got to use what you got. So for me, I'm a smaller guy. I'm like 128 pounds. So, you know, just a little bit smaller than yourself. And my whole thing is beating bigger opponents. So I got a lot of technique videos and competition footage of me making larger people kind of yell and scream and kind of, you know, cracking their joints and kind of hurting them and stuff like that. And people like those sort of things. So beating bigger opponents is a cool shtick to have. In addition to that, James, I went to University of Pennsylvania for my master's degree in applied positive psychology, and I focused kind of my whole Ivy League master's thesis on skill development in combat sport. Got to interview some of the finest researchers in skill development and goal setting, founders of goal setting theory, Locke and Latham, you know, Olympic judo champions and all this kind of stuff, and essentially came to understand sort of the science of skill. Oddly enough, James, the business that I started is called The Science of Skill. And so I use skill development curricula around drilling and around techniques sequences to put together a series of monthly modules that takes folks through a curriculum around learning to beat bigger opponents. So, I mean, I could really belabor it here, James, but essentially every month they're getting maybe two and a half hours worth of video specific to beating bigger opponents. They're getting a particular kind of drilling regimen and kind of set of individual technique drills to be able to follow through on and to be able to check off and kind of print out. They're also getting an article where I interview the best lightweight jiu-jitsu grapplers in the world. So again, the whole thing here, James, is really niching down so that we can validate a higher price. So this is not just we're interviewing black belts. No, no, no. This is very specific. This is we are interviewing the lightest weight black belts in the world who are also multi-time world champions. So the best lightweight guys, the best giant killer jiu-jitsu artists on the face of the planet, those are the guys you're getting to see specific article content, specific audio interviews from. So techniques, skill development curricula, and individual interviews in article and audio format, all about beating bigger opponents. And they, people pay $57 a month, and every month they get an additional module of that content.
Okay, so is it all digital delivered?
Yes. A lot of the time on the front end, James, we'll send them something physical. So, you know, like when they get in on the program, we'll send them a couple DVDs as like extra bonuses in terms of materials to be able to dive into, but the actual membership is entirely digital.
On the front end, do they buy the front end product with a recurring subscription built in, or is it separate?
Yes, they'll build it with the recurring subscription built in, and or sometimes it'll be offered as an upsell. So they'll be able to buy a one-off product, and then it'll say, hey, you know, you can get this other DVD too. And in addition to that, you'll get a 14-day access to our complete online library of such and such. It includes all these things, including this. And you have for 14 days before you get billed for blank. And some people just take the upsell. Most of the time, it is right there on the main sales page, but we do the upsell deal as well.
And is the 14 days activated when they purchase, or is it optional to activate?
It's activated when they purchase. So again, we have plenty of sales pages, James, where there's no 14-day trial and they just buy a product.
So they get a single product.
Yeah,
is that single product inside the membership or the subscription?
No. So anything that we would sell for like $17 or $27 or $47 is a flat sale. And we do make flat sales, James. I prefer to sell subscription for, you know, blatantly obvious, horrendously obvious reasons that I won't even sort of like belabor here.
John Murillo called it being half pregnant when you sell individual products and also a subscription.
Yeah. I mean, there's also merchant account reasons for that, which, you know, like, I don't know. I don't want to scare anybody. But anyway, so you don't want to only have recurring because like bad things can happen sometimes.
Tell me about that. I'm curious because 90-something% of my business is recurring.
Yeah, sure, sure. So, you know, when you go into multiple niches with recurring programs, and like if one of your merchants has the wrong merchant descriptor, or it doesn't display the entire phone number in the actual merchant thing, or it doesn't display the entire URL, or it doesn't show up in a certain, you know, like a Citizens Bank or Bank of America or something, and then people can't really tell what company it is, or they can't really get a hold of you by phone, then you have chargeback and refund issues.
Right.
And when you're trying to manage the merchant descriptors in three niches at once, you know, sometimes that stuff can get really hairy. So, you know, we could have learned that the easy way and have just sort of, you know, found somebody that did a ton of this and say like, whoa, merchant descriptors are super important, kids. You know, do you have your 1-800?
Well, that's why we're talking about it here. I mean, in my case, I sell pretty much everything off the Superfast Business yep. website, so it's much easier for people to identify. In your case, you could simply have a banner company that's the sort of brand co-branded with absolutely every product you sell.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so, you know, again, we're in three different spaces selling this stuff, and sometimes it's...
Can't they all be from science technology?
Science of Skill, yeah. So Science of Skill is the core LLC. These are just different business units working the same business model. However, you know, back in the old days, James, we did not have designated merchants per business unit. So people in the self-defense space, it would say, you know, our jiu-jitsu URL on there, and it may or may not have had the full phone number. And then they're confused because they're getting self-defense stuff. That's kind of what they wanted, but they're seeing a bill from a jiu-jitsu. They've never done jiu-jitsu. They just want to learn self-defense. So they're confused now as to what they're getting. So there are issues with going pure subscription, especially if you go into multiple niches and you don't understand what you're doing with merchants. So that was an issue that we had run into there, is that, man, you know, you think it's self-evident that these things work themselves out. They really don't. Like, if you're doing subscription, they've got to have a great URL. You got to have 24/7 phone service, ideally. That's what we have. And especially if you're juggling multiple niches, you got to make sure those merchant IDs tell the person, hey, this is the darn thing you bought, you know, because if it's not the same URL, they're going to get confused. They don't like it. And you're going to find yourself in some trouble with your merchant account.
With your revenue figures, do you have a large portion of that in costs for marketing?
Yeah. So let's think here. We actually don't run any paid right now. So a lot of our marketing is actually just sort of working kind of the affiliate game to some degree. Again, this is one of three businesses I'm running right now. So if I had the time, I imagine I would learn to be a Facebook champion of the universe. But I got a bunch of clients to manage and kind of the email side of things, people that want to build out funnels that make money. And then I got to go build those out and blah, blah, blah. So in the jiu-jitsu side of things...
Dan, you need to join Silver Circle. If you only did this business model and you knew your metrics really well, it'd scale so well. I can't help but think if you don't need that front-end product for self-liquidating offers, then and you know your customer lifetime value, it makes a lot of sense to have a freemium model where you have great free stuff so you can reach a lot more people and then straight to subscription, which is my model.
We have scienceofskill.com as a blog, and that's where we do a lot of the YouTube videos and the blog itself, just like the YouTube videos, right? Like they'll get a free article. It'll be, you know, have five different videos in the article at the bottom. They can opt in for additional free videos. Then they go into a funnel that drives them towards the escape offer and yada, yada. This is a business I'm going to sell though, James. Just the Science of Skill thing is something I'm going to sell. Then I'm moving to Silicon Valley in November. I'm going to be building a large media site in the brain machine interface and virtual reality space. I'm not really an information marketer, interested. Interestingly enough, I'm going to be leaving this world soon and nobody will really hear of me in this space anymore.
Probably answers the question why you would share these secrets.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess partially, right? It's like I'm going to be selling this thing and I'll be out of here. And I plan on having a venture fund, to be very frank with you, in very, very far out technology that would bore everybody on this call. So, but yeah, in terms of where our marketing goes, just to answer your question, and I you know, I'm sure I could learn oodles from what you're up to there, James. And I think I have to some degree. You know, a lot of it is to affiliate. So we know our CLV. So if we know that over the course of 90 days, somebody will pay blank if they sign up for a subscription, then we can pay out actually a lot on the front end. So affiliates can promote our offer and we can pay them astronomically more than somebody that's just selling a $47 DVD and they got to pay for shipping. We have a way bigger customer lifetime value. So we eat some upfront cost, James. Sometimes we'll cut a $13,000 affiliate check to a guy, but we know that 90 days in, we're going to, you know, make all that back plus more. And then every single month after that, it's all cream. And that's all cream that rolls in every month. And so we can afford to cut those kind of fatter affiliate checks off the bat. So we do a decent amount with SEO and with folks just kind of coming in organic, but then we also do a pretty good deal with JV because we can get some big pushes and we have enough in the bank to cut some fat checks out the front end because our CLV is high. So these guys love, you know, the numbers that they see, and we can get them to promote, you know, once a quarter, these guys with big email lists, and that sort of fills up the kitty there.
Right. So you've outsourced marketing.
Yeah, to some degree.
I see affiliates as a marketing cost. So I don't do the affiliate thing anymore.
No, I know. Yeah.
I think in your market, it's so broad and there's a lot of people with your customers. So it'd be kind of fun to approach them and offer them a large check. Do you pay them recurring or one time?
No, one time. I just don't like giving people a cut of the recurring just because it's like, man, 12 months later, it's really gruesome.
It's overpaying them, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, instead, what I like to do is I like to say, man, even if all your people drop out next month, you know, you're still going to get $40 for every single $7 sale that you sell on the front end. Really, really hard for people to like hate that, you know? I mean, a lot of people like that a lot. And so they'll just love the fact that you're eating it to the face in terms of expense and that all the risk is on you. But at the end of the day, I know my numbers, you know, I know the quality of my product. I know how long people hang out. And, you know, 12 months from now, I'd like to be the only person that is sort of getting those recurring payments that go into my bank account. So I do not pay on recurring. We just pay a lot on the front end compared to most affiliates. And we just keep up a good rotation there in addition to our search and social stuff.
So members are getting videos and regime techniques and an article.
Yes.
For $57 a month. Do they get any ability to network with each other or comment?
No. And I'll tell you why. So this is because I'm selling this business, James, right? So this cannot be based on me. So it was my curriculum material. Now we have a lot of other martial artists and fitness experts who we pay to film programs, or we just do a JV thing to film programs, and I don't even create content anymore. But the fact of the matter is, James, I built this thing to sell. So I sold my first martial arts business when this business, Science of Skill, was only at about $17,000 a month. And I sold the martial arts business so that I could move up to MIT and I could take classes at the Sloan Business School and I could start to kind of prep myself for getting into the venture world and kind of spend all my time in the media lab and am I, you know, or hang as much time as I could with the really hardcore emerging tech stuff and the smart business guys. So I started it just to move up there and then just to graduate from it. So it has been a sacrificial lamb from day one. I've never planned on being an information marketer for life. Not there's anything wrong with it. It's not my thing. So I built it to sell. So for me, James, I knew that there could not be a access to Dan aspect because I can't sell that. So if that means I have a lower CLV, James, I eat that because I got to exit. That's just my deal.
Right. I can't see why you couldn't have a community with all this information and have paid moderators, but that's a side point. How long do people stay on the program?
It'll depend per program, you know, 3 months-ish probably average, but you got that 1 in 15, 1 in 25 guys that'll stay for,
right.
You know, a year and a half. On average, though, a quarter or so.
How much do you think you could sell the business for?
Right now? Man, this is great. We're going right into numbers, huh, James?
Well, I got to ask the questions that the listener's thinking. You know, like we've talked about a lot of the...
Yeah, no, let's do it, man. Let's do it, right? Yeah. I'll send you my QuickBooks.
You might find a buyer.
Yeah, no, go figure, man. I mean, well, the good thing about this thing is, James, if you came over to my house and slit my throat tonight, we'd still make $58,000 next month. You know what I mean? That's the main aspect of this business that I think a buyer would like.
It's predictable revenue.
Yeah, it's freaking money. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care what niche you're in. If the money comes in when you're, you know, drunk, you know, under your couch or something, you know, which I don't do, by the way, but I'm just saying, you know, it's like, you know, there's value to that.
Look, I've had 5 years of six-figure months of revenue, these days six-figure in profit, without a dip in 5 years.
Yeah,
while all
it.
These other maniacs are doing big launches every year and doing affiliates and spending like 30 hours a week on Facebook putting sales pages. I don't get it.
No, I've never understood it. We rotate a ton of front-end continuity offers to the internal list, to different sub-segments. We're really big on segmentation and automation, and that's my whole shtick. And yeah, I mean, we've done launches, but they've been launches that were basically a ruse to fill up membership programs. But anyway...
Launches are good for promotions, but they're not a business model. So let's get back to this business valuation. Even a methodology would be good.
So right now, James, given our... If we go back 12 months from, let's say, you know, May. So let's say May's over, we go back 12 months and we get a reasonable acceptable multiple of 2.5 or 3x of net, which is normally how a business around this size is going to get valued, right? So this is a small business. Give me some time, James, okay? I plan on being opulently wealthy, to be 100% frank with you, but I'm a young dude and I didn't have the goal of opulent wealth until a little bit later on. So give me some time. But this business will likely be a $500,000 to $600,000 exit by the time we get out of it. Some of that may be in performance, which is a little bit unfortunate, but that's probably going to be the shake. So we can plan on maybe getting a quarter up front and you know, a certain amount on finance, and then probably a certain amount of performance, and maybe, you know, do somewhere in the $500,000 to $600,000 range for kind of the total valuation of the business based on a 2.5 to 3x of net based on our current run rate. Now, you know, you gave me another 6 months, we're probably doing better, but my game plan is to sell, because we built a nice automated machine and I got some big plans out West Coast.
Good job. When you say we, who's that?
When I'm referring to the we of science of skill?
Yeah.
Okay. I only have one full-time guy, but he's been with me since the beginning. He's actually a tight friend of mine, not a partner in the business, but certainly involved in a lot of kind of the day-to-day marketing. His name is Tim, and Tim and I are sort of the executors in some respects. Then we got our part-time folks and things like that. Really lean team. Again, you know, luckily, marketing automation's our deal, so a decent amount of it doesn't require humans. But in terms of the core squad here, it's just me and Tim. It's not like an 8-person team over here.
Great. Thing. Well, I think that's the main point. I wanted to get an idea of scale.
Yeah. It's two guys and then a couple of part-timers. Yep.
You drive traffic to your sales page or to an opt-in as your primary method?
You know, generally, James, that depends. So for social and search, we go to opt-in because nobody really likes to go straight to a sales page from Facebook. That's how you get like a lot of those bad comments and you know, you don't look so good. So going to opt-in from search and social is normally the way that we skin the cat. But for affiliate traffic, most of them are most comfortable driving straight to sale.
Yeah.
For sort of, you know, like in an affiliate, like a trusted person that's a subscriber listens to saying you need to buy this from this guy is a little bit, you know, it's a different ball game, and they have their own motivations compared to a guy that just Googled, you know, how to escape from under a bigger opponent, and they just kind of want to learn a little bit more, you know, and then it's my job to give them 2 or 3 weeks of kick butt content and teach them some great stuff and let them kind of make the decision to sign up. So search and social is to our automated funnels. And then the affiliates are usually most comfortable just going straight to sale.
What sort of opt-in rates would you see?
I mean, well, geez, this is sort of strange and somewhat arbitrary, but on the aggregate, maybe 25%-ish from, like, if you go to Science of Skill and you click on the banners.
And what about sales conversions?
Sales conversions based on those front-end guys, so somebody opts in.
Yeah, someone of a reasonable caliber affiliate, good warm traffic, you know, or medium traffic.
Yeah. I can give you broader numbers. It's sort of tough to say per affiliate. Being in three niches now has actually sort of garbled a lot of like
just give me a homogenized number.
Yeah.
Is it 1 or 2%?
The one that actually, it's better than that. So in jiu-jitsu, reasonable like search traffic, for example, not even like affiliates, oh my God, Fajel is the greatest thing, opt in here. Just kind of bumble along search traffic in our jiu-jitsu, our core jiu-jitsu funnel, would over the course of 90 days, we would get somewhere in the 3 to 4% of those guys to convert to a front end continuity offer. And this is just kind of search traffic. So warm affiliates, maybe we would have done a little bit better, but in terms of calculating kind of long-term, I'm only giving you the stats I feel like I actually know. I'm not going to be like, well, for affiliates, pull something out of my butt. You know, for general aggregate blog opt-in to sign up for BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, 3 to 4% of these guys, you know, on the aggregate, but that's over 90 days. So it's not like they all buy within day one, but James, we got some pretty decent automation in the back end. And then we do a lot of slicing and dicing based on tags and lead source and things like that. So we get them, you know, we might be more around 2% within the first month, for example. But if you give us 90 days, 3 to 4% of those guys from cold search will oftentimes end up in a membership.
Right. Dan, you've been super generous. We're going to wind up soon.
Cool.
The main themes that are coming through are to, if you're an expert, you should consider a subscription model. You really want to have a focus on specialization, making sure that you can stand out in the market because you can charge a better premium. Lots of leverage, so offering things that are leveraged to deliver from a small team using automation, oodles of segmentation, try that different categorized approach leading to a similar core to keep things simple, have clear labeling for your merchant
tags. Oh, goodness
gracious,
yeah.
You know, the right structure. And we've also sort of had some great discussions around whether you have upfront products or not, different types of traffic sources, paid, affiliates, blogging, SEO.
Yep.
And I think to finish up, why don't we just cover what do you think are the main lessons you've learned for your whole experience with this recurring income business that might help someone avoid a mistake or two?
Yeah, sure, James. So I'll give you two that are just big. I won't list like 10 little ones. I'll give you two that I think are just really rock solid that absolutely anybody should dive into. If you want to get into subscriptions, so we've done this in three niches. We've got, you know, guys in another half a dozen niches who we teach how to do this stuff. And it's somewhat formulaic when you nail it. So, you know, James, I had mentioned our specific niching in the Brazilian jiu-jitsu world. That was, you know, beating bigger opponents, yada, yada, yada. You know, you can't just pick an arbitrary value proposition in your niche and say, I'm unique now, I'm going to build a membership site. You really do have to know the market. So anybody, James, who's out there, who's an expert, as you had mentioned, who wants to kind of be unique in the marketplace, man, you know, find your list, find a bigger audience, you know, get a hold of enough folks and kind of enough traffic to garner some real deal response, and get some survey stuff out there, throw out some products, and then call the buyers, you know, put up some polls on the bigger fan pages in your niche and things like that, and get a sense for if anybody gives a crud about the particular value prop that you're really leaning towards. You know, what does this market ultimately care about? What kind of language do they use? What are the bigger problems that they're struggling with? And if you can't tie what you think makes you unique to that, then you're in trouble. So yes, you need to be unique in your market. But, you know, self-defense, we have an angle. Fitness, we have an angle. Jiu-jitsu, we have an angle. We built our membership content based on, and our sales pages, based on what the niche said they really wanted and what they really wanted to learn. So make yourself unique, but really dial into your markets so that when you go out there swinging, you know you're swinging at a big, 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 big pinata. You know that there's candy in there. You know, you can't just say, I'm unique, time to throw this out there. So that's one. Number two, James, is have automated systems to bring people in front of multiple continuity offers. A lot of people have a continuity sales page, and that's all they have, James. So they have one membership sales page. Now, I'm not saying that makes them bad people, but what I'm saying is, if you're familiar with Sports Illustrated, who makes a lot more money than any info marketers that I know, Sports Illustrated, yeah, you could go to sportsillustrated.com. You can just sign up for a friggin' subscription and get the paper to your door and get the thing on your tablet. Or, you know, once a year, you can buy a calendar of naked women, and then it'll come with 3 months of it. Or you can buy a cap, you know, a baseball or a football cap with your team that'll come with a free month of it. Or, you know, when your team wins the Super Bowl, you can get a big plaque of your team that'll cost $100, and then that'll come with a whole year of the subscription, but then the subscription will kick in 12 months from now. So they have a lot of different front-end offers to get people in on Sports Illustrated, to get people to try Sports Illustrated. And they know their CLV, and so they get people in the door in different ways. So if you're going to sell subscription, don't say, well, I have one membership page, it converts at this rate, I guess this is all I got. No. Give away something different on the front end. If you have men and women and you know the women like something different, give them a whole bunch of different cool stuff and create a different sales page for them. So create multiple ways for people to take that first step through your door. I use Sports Illustrated as a great example because they make more money than you know, any membership site folks that I personally have ever shaken hands with. And you know, they got a lot of ways to take step one. But like you said, James, it's the octopus, right? All roads lead to Rome. It's all driving people to the same membership. So take them through automation that gives them multiple ways to take that first step to give it a shot and give it a try and get as many monthly actives as you can that way.
That's great advice. If you look at the Own the Race course training that I provide, which is at owntheracecourse.com, every single blog post has content upgrades and it's specialized by topic, and they all lead back to the central core offer, and it's working a treat for our business.
HubSpot.
Beautiful. Okay, Dan, you have been very generous, really opened up the books on your business model. It's super kind of you.
Great.
You can be found at clvboost.com.
Yes.
And we wish you the greatest amount of success with your next venture when you go into the
yes, indeed.
Augmented reality world. And I'm sure we'll hear about you in the future. I'll probably see you in a Forbes business edition or something.
We'll see, my good man. There's only one way to find out, but I appreciate the good luck, James. I think I might need a little bit. So thanks so much for having me here, brother. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.